Today's Mishnah in Masechet Parah is Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet. So we've been discussing the different types of kelim and how you would be able to make sure that the kli that you're using for the Parah is not tameh on the level of the Milas Shasal Parah. We had some rather striking imagery yesterday of falling asleep on the kiln to make sure nobody gets into it before you take your kli out, and pumpkins, and all kinds of interesting things. And we're moving on today to Mishnah Dalet. So here, we're talking about a shvoferet. And remember that the whole halacha over here is based on the din of the tzedukim. That's where we get our chomers, right? So a while ago, we had back two prokim ago, that we were metamim, the kohen aseret as hapara, and that was in order to be motzi miliban shal tzedukim shal yomrim b'mura v'shemesh haita na'aseid. Now we find out that this is true even of the kelim that we use for the parah aduma. If we're going to be taking the efer haparah, and you usually would keep the efer haparah inside of these little shakers, which were made out of a shvoferet, so it was like a tube. So they would be metame, the same way that they were metame the Kohen Gadol, and they were metame the kelim. Now, there's a little bit of an issue over here, because there's a halacha, which we had in Chagiga, that had to do with the chumras. Remember that all of the chumras of the dinim of the parah over Hegdesh, over Kodesh, are listed in Chagiga. So that's chomer. It's the chomer Kodesh, but then we have the chomer of the parah aduma. There's a concept called kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. So when a kli was done, and it was just completed, and it was completed by chaverim, who were careful that it should never become tamei at all, the din is that when it comes to being using it for anything that is kodesh, it needed a tefillah. And that was even for kodesh, not only for parah. So therefore, we have anything, why was this? So we were gozer, because over there was a gzera. We're afraid that maybe while the kli was not royal kabbalah stuma and was still in the middle of being fashioned, so perhaps an Ama Aretz walked by and coughed, and there was a drop of spit from the Ama Aretz that was on it. The chover at that point was not makbid, because the kli could not be makabal tuma at that point, but we were afraid that maybe when the kli was finished, there would still be some of that spit from the Ama Aretz, which would be metame, again, min rabbanan, automatically the kli. So we would go there. You have to go and be tovel it. But now here's where it gets complicated. When we made that takana for kodesh, we said that it needs tefillah, but it doesn't need harif shemesh, even for kodesh. Now, the reason that that is confusing is because normally that's what we do to make the difference for parah, right? So we say, okay, we'll be mitame it, be tevel it, use it without harav shemesh. But that's what we do anyway when it comes to kelim hanigmarim b'tahara, even if it weren't being used for the parah. So therefore, the question over here would be that in such a case where kli was nigmar b'tahara, and it was made for the parah aduma, so then, if you just go ahead and you tevel it, and you use it, and you expect that to make an impact on the tzedukim, because after all, you're using a kli where you have a gezera that maybe there was spit from an amoritz on it, and you didn't wait for harif shemesh, still, it's not going to make much of an impression on tzedukim when they know that you do exactly that, even for kodesh. So therefore, if you want to really make an impact on the tzedukim, you can't just take the kli as tameh because it was nigmar b'tahara, you see? So you would have to do something else to make it really tameh. So that in that case, if it were kodesh, you would have had to wait for harav shemesh. So that's basically what we're involved in over here. So it requires a little bit of this background. So now if you're taking a shvoferet, so that this shvoferet is made out of raw reed, so they would cut it, they would make that into a a container, so it's like a cylinder, and you fixed it up so that it would be now a kli. And you would use it, chatachalachatat, you cut it carefully and so on. As you made it into a kli, now it's roi l'kabel tuma, and now it's open on one side, and you tap on it to get out the efrechatas, you know, and that would be the way that you get a little bit out at a time. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, what you need to do is you do not need to make a tamei, because it's already kelim anigmar b'taira, so just put it into the mikveh, and that way it's a tfuyo. So you're matbila miyad, without any further ado, like any kelim anigmar b'taira, and that's because that itself is a heker, that it's usable as a tfuyon. Now, it's true that this tefillah, of course, is not very impressive, because we would do the same thing for even Kadesh, and therefore we never needed Herav Shemesh. But since the Gabe Para Aduma, the Kli is Tamei in a completely different way, because as we saw in Chagiga, when it comes to Kalim, even if they're Nigmar and Bataira, Legabe Hegdesh, but Legabe, the Kli of the Pora Aduma, we give it a din of a Tomei Mace Liachar Hazah on the Yom Hashvi of the Hazah. What's the difference? A major difference. The difference is that it's an Avatuma, and it's Metame Adam. And it's been time in Kalim. Now, normally, when it's talking about the Gezerah of Kalim and Nigmar and Bataira, obviously, it's not going to be Tomei, it's a Tomei Mace. What most were Chayish for is that maybe the Amorites will give him a din of a Zav, fine. But no way that this Kli could possibly be Batame another Kli, or be Batame another. So anyway, says Rebbe Eliezer, there's a major clear-cut distinction, and therefore that means that when it comes to the Para Aduma, we're willing to use kelim that are tefillah. Great. I mean, you got to be a really dumb tzaduki to think that kelim anigmar and b'taira and chatas are the same as kelim anigmar and b'taira for hekdesh. For God's sake, you never learned chagiga? What's the matter with you? So therefore, Rebbe Eliezer Taina, this is a fine enough heker. And we saw this idea before, because if you learn, remember we had the Machlokas, the Rambam and other Rishonim. Sorry, let me just try to get my voice back. The Rambam and the other Rishonim as to whether putting their hands, the Ziknei Beznin, putting their hands on the head of the Kohen Gadol, whether that was the Metamim Kohen Gadol, because of the chaymer of the Parah, that even somebody who's Tor for Hekdesh is considered to be Tamei when it comes to Parah, or whether you really had to be Metame the Kohen with a sheretz or something, is what the Rambam holds. So basically, here we're saying the same thing. I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. It's a good enough heker, because contextually within the dinim of the Parah Aduma, this is considered to be a real Tuma, and Mamela, we're making a point that we're doicha 100% the das of the tzedukim. It doesn't have to be directly a smack in the face of the tzedukim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. You have to actually be metame this shvoferet, and then do tvila. Because otherwise, it's not going to make any impression on it. This is like a very arcane halacha, you know? The difference between kelim anigmorim b'taira for hegdesh or kelim anigmorim b'taira for parah. And therefore, you have to do something that everybody knows, and it's not going to be a heker that the par is nazis betvul yom, because normally, kelim and ingmar and betaira never are considered to be tamei as a tvul yom. They become tar just with tefillah. And therefore, we need to do something else. Hakol kisherim lekadesh. Now, when it comes to actually putting the afer into the mayim, everyone is kosher, including a woman, as we'll see, even though it says ish tahar, but nonetheless, anybody is considered to be kosher, except for a cheresh shayt of a katan. Why? Because it says, v'yasaf ish tahar et efer hapara, v'niach michutz l'machaneh, and the way that the Gemara understands ish tahar is that ish is not coming to say ish v'lo isha. Ish is coming to say that even though up until now we were talking about Elazar HaKohen, but now when it comes to the Asifa, anybody, even a czar, is kosher. So it would be according to that shita that you would have to use a kohen. So here it's coming to be matir a czar. That would be the point. And therefore, it has not coming to tell me that an isha is in any way different. Then it says vihiniach. So, well, I mean, obviously, if you take the ephra part, why have to say vihiniach? Just say you put it in, right? So vihiniach means kavana lahaniach, meaning that the ephra part cannot just fall into it. It has to be put there with consciousness. The problem is that a child is not conscious in the way that allows kavana for hiniach, in which case we're going to be darsha, that a cheresh shaita v'katan, who are not completely conscious, because they don't have das, so since they don't have das laniach, it's not included in v'iniach. And then it says, v'lakhu latameh, who is the v'lakhu latameh me'afas reifat ha'chatat v'natan alav mayim chayim al-keli, which is a reference also to the kiddush that comes after collecting the efer. That means go directly from the asifa and take it to the Mayim Chayim El Keli. So in other words, you cannot do something else in between. So what does that come to tell me? That if you have a psul in the asifa, anything that is posel in the asifa is also posel in the kiddush. Anything that is kosher in the asifa is kosher be kiddush. Fine. So that we learned out in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says exactly the opposite. A katan dafka is kosher, and a woman or an androgynous is posel. Why do we bring dafka androgynous? Why don't we bring also a tumtum in this case? Because we usually bring tumtum. Very simple reason. A tumtum is going to be posel because he's an oral. He's a suffix oral. Since you don't know whether he's male, you obviously never did a bris milah. And therefore, what if he is male and he's an oral? Okay, we don't have to mention the tumtum. Okay, so therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the point is that the v'lokach is not telling me kol kosher basifa is kosher b'kiddush. Because why does it change the lashon from the asaf to the lakhu? Why is one lashon yachid and one is lashon rabim? So if the lashon rabim is obviously coming to tell me that I'm broadening the envelope over here, otherwise who's the extra that's included with the lashon rabim? So obviously it's just the opposite. So even somebody who might be puzzled for the asifa is kosher for the kiddush. Masha Enkin, a woman is puzzled for the kiddush, because it says vinatan. It doesn't say vinatna. Now, it's true that, of course, as we've seen in many places, kol ha'Torah kula always uses lashon zachar and doesn't mean only zacharim. So why over here would it have had to say vinatna? But that's because once you made the distinction between the vinatnu and the vinatan, so then you have to be careful at, okay, so what is the difference? All right, so then the vinatan is not only yochid, it's also lashon zachar. So that means the Torah is forcing us to concentrate on the actual grammar. Okay, the chachamim, they learn that the idea over here of lakhu is not to tell me it's a broader envelope. It's to tell me that even two people who take the efer, one of them can put it into the mayim, and we don't say that you have to have the same people that took the efer b'shutves, that they have to do the actual kiddush. So, okay, that's the machlokas that we had over there in Yuma, and it doesn't, it's here, we remain with that machlokas, Reb Yehuda, and the chachami. Mishnah, hey, b'chol hakelim. Mikadishin, Vafilo Bikley Gulolim, Bikley Avanim, Ubikley Adama. Now listen, here it's sort of the opposite. Normally we said we wanted to have the Kohen surrounded only with Kli Gulolim, Kli Avanim, Kli Adama, because these Kalim are not Makabal Tuma, right? Here we're saying even Bikley Gulolim. Why? Because it's a Bizoyan. That's the question. Over here it's not Nogea Tuma, because we already said that we dafka armatami. And we are then tevel. So that's not the point. So these kalim are bechlal, first of all, not able to be makabal tuma. So maybe that's not good enough because we're not being motzi midaitam shel tzedukim. And besides that, they are cheapo kelim, so maybe we don't have a right to do that. So in other words, when we say b'kola kelim, we're talking about any type of kli at all, which would mean maybe you could use a plastic cup, you know. So we're not makbid on the material. And even with things that don't have a din of Kabbalah's tuma, they're considered to be kelim over here, and it's called v'natan mayim chayim el keli. El keli doesn't say el hakli. It says el keli. And that's very striking, I think, right? When you hear the parsha of Paraduma, don't you stop every time of those words, el keli? It's like weird. Because normally we say, put it into the kli, right? El HaKli, no. So that when it says Kelly, it's Gufa coming to tell me there is no definite article over here. There is no HaKli. Any Kli is kosher. That's the marker for the whole idea. And you can even use, now here's my Machlokas, I understand it. You could even use a boat, that would have a din of a Kli, or you could even do the Kiddush in a boat. Then why would I think you can't do the Kiddush in the boat? Because, remember, we talked about this, we're going to get to this in Mishnah later, but the din is that one of those strange takonas chachamim that are built on an event, and even though the event does not seem to have anything to do with an actual reason to be gozer, but in order that the event should be kavua in our memory, we make a gezerah based on the event, right? So we've got these crazy gezerahs sometimes, you know, not to wear, the golf shoes. What do they call those shoes with the stuff sticking out? Spike shoes. Thank you. Yes. Sandals with nails. Barnea. That's how they call it in Tel Aviv. You, I mean, you can't do better than that for heaven's sakes. Spikes. So, this is the same type of gezerah that was built on a story in which once they had taken over the Ephra HaPara across the Jordan River, and they discovered that it was actually a boat that belonged to a mafioso, and there was a body in the bottom. Because of that, we were gozer that you're not allowed to transport the mechatas. You're not allowed to transport across the Jordan River in a boat. Okay, fine. So, here, I would think that therefore you can't use a boat, to be able to do it at all. But that has nothing to do with being mekadesh. That's a special din in transport. So therefore you can even use in a boat. It wouldn't mean a boat. So it's two approaches, but the boat would be, remember, a kli that's not mekabel tumah, because any kli that is a kli for water, for use in the yam, is not able to be mekabel tumah, because it's similar to yam. Ein mikachin lo bitvanot hakelim. You're not able to do the kiddush of the mechatas unless it's actually in a kli, a proper kli. Which means that if you got a broken kli and now there's a base kibble in the pieces that were once the side of the kli, and now you want to use that as a kli, in the dafnota kelim, that is not called a kli, even if it has a base kibble. Velo b'shulei hamachatz, and you can't use either. The machatz is the pressure that is usually used, taking water in the gut, and it has a Beit Kibbo, but it's not meant to be used as a Beit Kibbo in it. And you can't use that as a kli. And you can't use, so there's a place where the water will run into, but that's not meant as a Beit Kibbo. You can't use a magufata chavit, which is the cover of a barrel, which is, there is a space there to put your finger in. And that is used to pulling it out, but it's not meant as a Beit Kibbo. And you can't use your own chofnav, your own, what do you call chofnav? You make your palms. How do you say that in English? To use Beit Chofnav as a kli. Putting your hands to...
Your hands
to... Cup of your hands. Thank you. Yes. You can't cup your hands and use that as a kli either, because all of these things are not kelim and ein memalin, the ein mikachin, ve'en mazin mechatas ela bekli. Since the Torah specified keli, it's got to be a kosher kli. Ein matzilim betzamit patil ela kelim. Once we're on it, remember that we talked about this when we were learning also about the dinim of kelim, that the halacha of a tzamit patil, which is that a kli cheres that is covered over tightly, and it's only mekabel tuma from its inside, so that if you put a tzamit patil, you have a tight-fitting cover over it, anything that's inside of it is not considered to be inside of the oil hames, it's not going to be makabel tuma. That's only if it's a proper kli. So if it's one of these things that we just listed, even if you put a tight-fitting cover, it's not going to protect anything from tuma in an oil hames. So it has to have a shame kli. And she'en matzilim yad kli cheres ela kelim. It's only an actual kli. And this refers to correct way to read it is not she'en, but ve'en, according to the way we understand the Mishnah, is that this means an additional halacha. So remember that there's a din of kli betoch kli. And we learn out from the pasuk of kol asher betocho yitma. Remember one of our favorite drashas, tocho velo toch tocho. So if something is inside of another kli, and that's inside of the kli cheres into which the sheretz fell, so only kol asher betocho yitma. But if it's in another kli, then it is not considered to be tameh by the fact that it was inside of the tanur. But that's talking about only a kli that is an actual kli is going to be matzil something when the top of the kli extends above the tanur, so the whole thing isn't inside of the tanur. But if it's one of these things that we mentioned, it's not going to be matzil as toch tocho either. It's got to be an actual kli. Okay. That we learned, remember, we learned that when we were learning Mesechet Kelim. The only reason that we bring it over here is because we started talking about Ein Matzilin, so we already talked about Ein Matzilin in terms of Tamid Pasio, and Ein Matzilin Betoch Tocho, to explain the Inyanim of the Mishnah that are dealing with Kelim Agav. The thing over here, that that we're talking about something else, that's the way most Rishonim learn. Not everybody learns like that. And others learn, including the Rambam, that this is talking literally about Matzilin in terms of Kelim in Aver Kli Cheres. So if let's say a Sheretz falls into an Aver Kli Cheres, the thing that is not Mekabel Tuma are Kelim. Remember, because one of the brilliant things that we learn out of that wonderful pasuk that has so much information on it is that since it says kol asher mitocho mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, it means that you see from here that the sheretz is not filling up the airspace. Because if it was filling up the airspace, so then a kli would be mekabel tuma from the sheretz. So why does it say only mikol ha'ochel? Because if it's filling the airspace, it would be a din in maga. Instead, the sheretz first has to be metame the kli cheres by radiating tuma to its inside, right? And then the kli cheres has to go back and be metame masha betocha. So therefore, what it's saying is that kelim are not going to be tame in the avir kli cheres, which is a completely different way of understanding what the Mishnah is referring to here. Okay, so to make it part of matzilin, we were mefarshit like the Rash and other Rishonim. Perek Hey Mishnah Vav. So the bitzat ayotz, remember we discussed whether the correct word is bitzat or betzat. A bitza would be referring to a pack of clay that you prepare in order to make it into a kli. And a betzat ayotz is the same thing, but it was called a betza because it was shaped essentially like a bitza. So anyway, this is talking about clay. That the people that are going to be manufacturing the kli cheres, they first take the clay and they put it into the shape of a ball. And now, if it has a beit kibul already, is kosher to be mekadesh the mechatas, whereas Rabbi Yossi is posel because only a kli shenigmara melachto is kosher, and therefore before it's been completely finished, fired, and made smooth, it's not a kli. Beitzata tarnegolet, if you're talking about a literal egg shell, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are makshir for kiddush, and the Chachomim say that's not considered to be a kli. Perakei Mishnah Zayin, HaShoket. Now, this is interesting because the Shoket ends up, strangely, becoming the way that we refer to the kli that we always have the Mayim Chayim in, just to make it clear what we're referring to. So it becomes shorthand for the Shoket that contains the Mayim from the Mayan. So that's what a Shoket is. A Shoket is a stone that has like this indentation in it that holds water. And the water from the Ma'ayan goes normally into like any kind of container, so to speak, that's in a shoket. But it's not considered to be a kli. And ein memal'in ba, ve'ein mekachin ba, you cannot use that to be the milui of the mayim. And you cannot use that if water went into that. And let's say you had originally taken water and put it into a shoket. You cannot use that shoket as a container to be mekadesh in. And if you put the water that was mekadesh into it, you cannot use that water once it's in the shoket to be mazeh from, because it does not have a din of a kli. And it is not able to take a tzomid posil, because if a shoket was actually located inside of an ohel mace, it doesn't need a tzomit posil, because since it's not a kli, it's essentially, for all intents and purposes, a bor. If something is inside of a bor in your home and there's a cover on the bor, it does not have to be a tzomit posil, because the bor is considered to be a place that's in and of itself a different rishos. So as long as it's not mamish in the oil tumah, so you could put anything over it that has a tefach of height, that's all. So put a piece of paper over it. You don't need a tzamit pasil. And therefore, it's not included in the dinim of tzamit pasil. But we don't say it's not matzil. We say it doesn't need in a tzricha tzamit pasil, because it would be matzelet with a piece of paper on it all by itself. And what's more, in a poselet et hamikveh, let's say that it rained, and the rain now gushes over this shoket. So the rain is pouring over the stone. It sits inside of this hole in the stone. And then more water comes in and it's pushed out and now goes into the mikveh. Now, if that had a din of a kli, then it would have become pasul because of mayim she'uvim once it's in a kli. But since a shoket is not considered to be a kli, so water that falls into a mikveh, remember this halacha, a mikveh that is chaser, this is only halacha that's not a mikveh that's chaser, a mikveh that is chaser, and it doesn't have in it arboim sa, and it's missing shloisha lugin from arboim sa, and other water comes into it, if that water is from mayim shuvim, it permanently passes the mikveh, as opposed to mayim shuvim that is subsequently poured into a mikveh. So here, if the water that's mashlim, the mikveh, went through the shoket, it's not going to passel the mikveh at all because of she'uvim, because it does not have a kli. But suppose you disconnected the stone, and now you have this hole in it, and now it's being used as an actual kli. So it started off as a kli, and now you go and you reconnect it with cement to the ground. What's the din then? So haitakli, it started off as a kli. V'chibrabesid, you connect it to the ground with cement. So that now it's essentially a shoket again. It doesn't lose its shame kli at that point. This is a major problem for mikvaot, where things are reconnected to the ground that have been manufactured as kelim. They need to be manufactured initially, not as kelim. They need to be manufactured for purposes of chibur only. But anyway, if you reconnected a kli to the ground, it remains a kli. And therefore, you can use it for Kiddush, and you can use it for Hazoya. But if it's now in your house, and the house has a Oel HaMeis in it, then it would need a Tzomit Pasil. And if water goes over it, if it was reconnected near a place where the rainwater passes over it, it will be pasiling the mikveh. So it's poselet at hamikveh because it's called mayim she'uvim. Now, nikvar milamata, the shoket that had originally been made as a kli, and what's now, as we said, kosher, you made a hole in the bottom that was mevatalet from being a kli, and you plugged up that hole with rags. So pekaka is martut. So then the din is that the water that's inside of this kli is pasul for all of the above. You can't use it for milui, you can't use it for kiddush, you can't use it for hazoya, because it's actually enam agulim kli. Agulim kli doesn't mean that it's not rounded. It means it's not surrounded. So in other words, the water that's in this type of kli is not completely surrounded by kli, because the nekev, which is sealed only by a smartut, is not considered to be in a kli. The Rambam literally understands this. He says it's not munach on the igulei hakli. So in other words, according to him, the problem is that it's not on the part of the kli that remains ugol. It's a big shaila whether the entire kli was batal, even from the smartut and below. So that's what the Mishnah now wants to talk about. Suppose the smartut was on the side. So minat sad upokako b'smartut, and it was a hole that was above the bottom of the kli. So there was a place that you could put water. So then the mayim that's in underneath that level is kosher for kiddush, or is kosher for milui, or is kosher for hazoya, because they are in the eagle of the kli. Or because they're, according to the Rambam, because they're below the part that was destroyed from an eagle kli. So that is kosher. But in Ochinami, if it's above that, it would be possible. Osulo atarashotit. Suppose you make a decorative atara around the top of the kli, and you use a cement to make this atara. Now the question is, so now you've got this lip around the kli, and you filled it up, and the water came all the way up and is now in that area. So is that considered to be part of the kli? Hochu amayim l'sham. Then the din is that it's all puzzle for any of the above. It's puzzle for milui, puzzle for kiddush, puzzle for the atara, for the hazara, because the atara itself is not considered to be part of the kli, because it usually is not properly connected. And if, however, imaya bari, if it was well built so that it's so strong, kedeshi inatelima, you could pick up the entire kli just by picking up the atara. So that's usually a sign. Same thing for the din of Lecha Mishnah. If you pick up the whole thing, it's not going to fall apart. So then it's considered to be one piece. So then it's considered to be part of the kli. And then in a chinami, it would all be kosher, even if it's water in the atara area itself.